reason why we're here today is to worship you, and we pray, Lord, you'd open up our hearts as only your Holy Spirit can do, so that we can receive the things you want to instruct us in, that we may apply it and live to honor you with, not just today in our song and our voice, but with our very lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, we've had a good time in the Lord already today, and I'm glad to see all of you here. We're thankful that we've been able to coordinate getting Pastor Fred Smith from just north of Saginaw, Michigan, to come and be with us this morning. And he's touched our hearts already in the Bible study hour in Sunday school. And he's going to come and share with us a little bit more about what God's doing in Hungary today and then preach a message for us. You know, the book of Revelation, God told the church at Philippi, "Behold, I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it." And that really is a testimony of what's happening in Hungary through the orphanages there. So we're going to look at the video that we watched this morning, and then Pastor Smith is going to come and share with us. So let's ask God to open our hearts and touch us as we look at this film together.
Frankenmuth, which is in our area as well. And it's just been a great open door and privilege of mine to be part of this ministry from its inception. I just am thrilled to be here to share it with you. And I have some brochures which you can get after the service. Some of you have already got some of these packets. If you're interested in supporting a child, you would get a picture of that child that you're going to support. You can do it as an individual, or as a couple, or as a group of people, and support a child if you'd like to. And it's $1 a day, $365 a year, or $30 a month, however you want to do that. And there's a card inside. You can fill that out. They will respond. Our Hungarian American Fellowship will respond to you with information. They'll send you a video and give you updates and so on the child. If you'd like to support, that's what these envelopes are for, with some information. And also, and I'll lay them here for you, and you can get them after service. There are brochures here, which also has all the contact information. If you want to come to a camp and be participant, this summer is full, but next summer, 2013 and beyond, wide open. And we want to have more and more camps. Last year, we did one camp. This year we're doing two, and we'd like to just double that on through until we fill the summer up and are bringing hundreds of kids in to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to just give you a moment of backstory, because I think it's important to how this happened and how this came into our hands as a ministry. And that is that Pastor Brett Bartlett, which you saw introduce this video, his brother, Blake, lived in Hungary. He was in India when that bombing took place in the motel there, Taj Motel. Some of you remember that. And then they promoted him to be a director of Tauk, a travel agency there in the Central Europe. And while in Central Europe, he met and fell in love with a Hungarian lady and married her. And her best friend was married to the director of the orphanages there in Hungary. And so as they began to interact with each other, the director of the orphanage, which you saw here by the name of Csaba, in the beginning he introduced how he was excited about and he was being translated. His name is Csaba, and he is the director of those orphanages, and he was struggling with what to do as the children get out of the orphanage and get into the public life, and the disaster that takes place often as they repeat and recycle and wind up with their children back in the orphanage with a prison and prostitution and those kinds of problems. And so Blake said, well, what we do in America is we put the kids in a camp and preach the gospel to them, introduce them to Jesus and try to disciple them and get them plugged into a church. A camp. Oh, and he got all excited about it and said, can we do that here? And then his brother, Blake, contacted Brett, who's in Toledo, Ohio, who's a pastor there at Wildwood Baptist Church. And he contacted me, and we began to do some research into actually having a camp in Hungary. And at Lake Balaton, at a little town called Balaton Barony, we had our first camp last summer. We had 150 orphans and 20 or 30 workers and 10 translators. And we had about 40 Americans there who came to work with the orphans. And we've got to preach to them in the morning, preach to them in the evening like we do here in a camp. And by the third day, the Lord broke the ice and we began to see children come to us and accept Christ as their Savior. And 78 of them by the week's end had trusted Christ as their Savior. As I told this story in Sunday school, you know, they just fell in love with us and we with them. And it was just a profound and amazing thing that the Lord did there. And by the end of the week, we just had a hard time leaving and they had a hard time letting us go. As you can imagine, we met in that room with the 200 people packed into it, and all the children and the teens' eyes were filled with tears as they began to present to us gifts. And then they had gone aside, and we didn't realize they did this, but they got with one of the translators, who are Hungarians, and they learned one of our praise songs that we sang every night during the meeting, and they learned the praise song in English. And as a gift to us, a group of them got up on the platform with a guitar and they sang that praise song to us in English. And I'll tell you, I hear that song, I'm never the same having experienced that. God did a great work there. And I'm privileged to be able to represent this foundation and this ministry to with you to show you what God is doing and to try and get you to whatever God leads you to be a part of that. We have four, five, six churches, I think, that are going this summer, sending some large entourage and some smaller groups that are coming with us to Hungary. And if there are some here who are interested, you could pick up a brochure, you could make the contacts. I think you should talk to your pastor about that. And then we are going and we'll set a date for next year in July of 2013, and if you're interested in going those summer camps, and we also have a winter camp, which is essentially the kids that get saved. We have a winter camp where we disciple the saved kids. So those kids that made a decision come to the winter camp, at which time we give them more intensive discipleship and build a relationship with them further. We're attempting to get a church started in the area where the community where the orphanage is, so that we can get those kids plugged into a church and get a relationship with the church members so that they have somewhere to go as they have an exit out of the orphanage system. So you pray for our ministry as we do that. Pray for our camp this summer and help us if you can to support an orphanage. And certainly, I don't think anybody should do that until, first of all, you're supporting the missions ministry of this church. The missionaries that you are supporting already, I think that's the starting place for missionary worldwide evangelism, through the church, supporting the missionaries that the church supports, is so much a part of what every believer and every member of the church should be involved in. Well, I can't do much, some may say. Well, do what you can. Because everybody contributing makes it so that the work can continue to go on. I'm being a pastor of a church and supporting missionaries that go around the world, and a sending church of a missionary couple to Nicaragua. We have a very big heart for the worldwide mission program and evangelism, and it's such a dire need that people hear the gospel all over the world. So first start there, and if you're not doing that, by the end of this conference, I hope that God has spoken to your heart, so you'll get involved in doing that. Let's talk about that open door. If you have your Bible, 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. And in verse number 9, would you read there with me? For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this church and for the privilege of being here, for its great pastor and wonderful people. I pray that you'll just strengthen the resolve of this body of believers to really support the missionaries and to reach beyond and do all they can for world evangelism, realizing that this is one of the greatest investments that can be made in this world. And beyond that, it's the greatest investment that can be made in eternity. And I pray that you'll just help folks, this church, to have a missionary heart. Help us to see the open door you set before us and have the boldness and courage to step through it. God, I pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. This revealing statement made by the apostle to the Corinthians about an open door at Ephesus was a great door, an effectual door. It is about the work of God, as you'll see in verse 10, about that work of God, this door is open. And it's plain to see that God works in the gospel through an open door system. Whether the door is opened, when the door is opened, how the door is opened, to whom the door is opened, and the fact that God is the one who opens the door and the door is open for gospel ministry. Ever since the tomb was opened of Jesus Christ, God has been opening doors for the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, when you think about open doors, Jesus in John chapter 10 spoke of himself as being the door. The only way into a relationship with God and eternal life is through God's Son, Jesus Christ, who is the door. That door is open for you today. If you do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior, God will open that door to you when you come and ask Him and believe Him and receive Him. This open door that the apostle speaks about is a divine opportunity. God sets divine opportunities. It's a gospel door from 2 Corinthians 2:12, where it says, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord," that door is the door of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is interested in the souls of man. Obviously. So interested that He sent His only begotten Son in love to go to this world, to go to the cross and to be crucified, to bear our sin and to rise again on the third day and to send His Holy Spirit to dwell within believers so that this gospel can be perpetuated throughout generations and everywhere on the world, on the planet. It's a door of the gospel. It's a door of faith. It takes a degree of faith to step through the open doors. Acts 14:27, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." You know, the gospel door is open by believing. Amen. You have to trust. It's a door of faith. And it's a door of faith because it takes a degree of faith for the believer to step through the open door that God sets before us. It's a scary thing when the Lord opens a door and you have a decision to make, and it's a crisis of faith. When God opens a door, will I move or will I stand here? Here's an opportunity. Should I? Shouldn't I? And we've all struggled with that crisis of faith. And we pray, Lord, let me witness to this person. And then God suddenly opens the door and we're not expecting it. And I wish I'd have said something. I knew that was an opportunity, but oh, I let it go by. Have you ever had that happen to you? And you go like, man, God, help me next time to have the boldness and the faith to step through the doors that you open. Because it's a door of faith. It's a door of prayer and personal witness opportunity. Colossians 4, 3 and 4 says, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So it's an opportunity to tell people about Jesus, an opportunity to talk to people about Jesus, an opportunity to talk to Jesus about people. Open doors. God uses them. It's a door for churches and people who hold God's word up. This is a promise God set before the Church of Philadelphia and Open Door. The Church of Philadelphia in the book of Revelation was known as the church that kept God's word. To these churches, churches like this church, to these churches, God opens doors. I set before you an open door. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. To that church, God opens the door. To this church, God will open doors. Why? Because it's a church that keeps God's word, and God has the confidence in the church that does keep His word, that they will keep His word, so He opens the door so that they can take the word that they keep through the door that He opens. I mean, it's just a matter of logic, isn't it? Now, this is a great door, the Apostle Paul said. It's a great door. There are many types of doors or opportunities for the gospel to be preached in, large or small, not unimportant and important, but large and small. Some are small doors, some are great doors. They're all valuable, they're all important, but God opens all sorts of doors. The doors are all different sizes. It may be an opportunity to talk to one person. It may be an opportunity to witness to two or three people. It may be an opportunity to talk to thousands. A door is opened. We invested in doors. You're investing in doors opened. The investment in missions. Your personal witnessing. You're handing a gospel tract out at a restaurant or a gas station or the grocery store. The ministry with young people and youth and buses and children and visitation and whatever you have going on as an individual or as a church. All of these have varying degrees of success. Paul disputed daily in the school of Tyrannus for 2 years at Ephesus in this open door that he's speaking of that's found in the book of Acts. And he said this was a great door because the book of Acts records so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks, as he ministered there in Ephesus until Pentecost. Why? It was a great door. Lots of people were hearing the gospel, not only at Ephesus, but all Asia was hearing the gospel, according to the book of Acts. So Paul calls it a great door. Not only was it a great door, but it was an effectual door. An effectual door. What does that mean? That means it was accomplishing something. Things were happening. Good things were happening. When we went to Hungary, I didn't know how it was going to be our first trip over. You know what it was, and to be honest with you, you have 150 orphans, and you have 20 or so very protective orphan workers, and us strange Americans that can't speak a word of Hungarian, and here we are, depending on the interpreters, and we don't know if we're going to be accepted or not, or how it's going to go, and we're there committed deeply with money and all of that thing to make that camp work, just kind of stepping through the door that God opened to us. Just trusting God is going to do something. As a result, 78 children came to know Christ as their Savior. Wow, that is an effectual door, isn't it? Acts 19, when the Apostle Paul was there at Ephesus, it says, "And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." That was the great effectual door that the Apostle Paul is telling the Corinthian believers about that happened at Ephesus from Acts 16, 8 and 9. Wow! People were hearing it. It was affecting their lives. It was affecting how they live. It was affecting their spiritual well-being. It was affecting their eternity. This is what we pray for and hope for and work for and invest in and ask you to invest in with us for the orphans that we're working with there in Hungary. Somebody asked the question, how many orphans are there? Well, wow, there's a lot. We have one system in one county that has about 600 orphans in it out of, I think, 13 other counties that have as large or larger orphans, orphanages systems. And so there's literally thousands. And the government is telling us, we want you to come and do more of this. The door is wide open. Chaba, the man that you met here, wasn't a saved man when this started happening. Brett's brother Blake is, and they were fast best friends. How is this going to happen? Well, Chaba came here during our fellowship meeting that we have a national fellowship meeting in Boston. And he sat there all week long hearing the gospel. At his first meeting with Brett, Brett began to try and witness to him. He told me when he went to Hungary the first time and met Chaba for the first time, he said, "Pray for me because I'm going to witness to Chaba." And I did, and he did. And Chaba pulled the car to the side of the road. And he said, "This is all right for the children in the orphanage. But I want you to know that I have been to the Pope. And I saw him and I knelt before him and he put his hand on me and he blessed me for the work of the orphans in Hungary. So I don't need your message." After coming to Boston and hearing the gospel preached again and again and again and again and again and again before the week was over, Chaba had come to know Christ as his Savior. Wow. How can you take a giant leap from that to there? And then, while this last winter, Brett was in Hungary and then had the winter camp and then went over to Romania to minister to Hungarians there in 11 churches he preached. And Chaba went with him. After the week is going and they're all into these several weeks that Brett was there, Chaba says, "You know what, Brother Brett? I believe God is calling me to this ministry. God's calling me to preach the gospel." You're like, how on earth can God do such an amazing transformation in a man's life from being totally rejecting hearing this gospel message to embracing it and now wanting to be a minister and preach the gospel? So training is already happening for him to get involved in ministry. And then you notice what it says here. It's a great door, an effectual and open door, but there are many adversaries. I guess I can assure you, and I think you probably already know this, it's never going to be easy, and it's never going to be without opposition. And I'm not going to begin to bore you with all the details of all the things that we came up against trying to see this happen, or that we still come up against trying to continue this ministry. But you should know that nothing is done without dealing with some adversity. And this is the thing that you have to understand. When God opens a door, you can't expect to just go sliding through and the devil's not going to notice and nobody will care. The devil don't care because the devil does care. He doesn't want people to come to know Christ. He doesn't want the church to thrive and grow. He doesn't want the gospel to go forward. And he wants to hinder those who step through the doors that God opens. Some will not believe it's an open door. Some will believe going through the door is going to cost too much. Some will think those who oppose investing in what it takes to go through that door is greater than the value of the door. If God opened the door, I'll tell you, there is no greater value of stepping through it. And the sacrifices that you make will always be worth it. There are adversities of those who feel adverse impact because of the open door. Just to share with you the story in the book of Ephesus, as we shared somewhat with you already, the miracle and the revival that was going on and how that it spread throughout all Asia there in the book of Acts from Ephesus, as the apostle spent 2 years there, the longest time he ever spent in any ministry. And as a result of that, many things were happening, but there was a problem. Because he was preaching to worship the one true and living God meant you had to put away your idols. Well, there was a guy who lived there named Demetrius, whose job it was to build idols. He was a silversmith. He was the head of the idols making union. And you ever deal with a union, you got a problem, friend. And the gospel went crossways with the union of workers, because they were going to lose their jobs if people stopped buying idols. So, man, they created a great uproar. And you can read that in the book of Acts. This goddess Diana that they were silversmiths were making in Acts chapter 19 and verse 23 through 41. You can read that whole story there of the silversmith union and all the idol making unions getting together to try and stop the gospel message because it had an economic impact upon them. I don't think the world's any different today than it's ever was. And it certainly does take money to keep doing the things of God. And then, of course, there are the false religious systems and those who would promote those things that are not true. Then there's the partnership of the open doors. The bigger the door, the more partners are needed. Here, if you read this remaining passage from from 1 Corinthians 16, you'll see mentioned Timotheus, Apollos, Stephanas, Fortunaeus, Archaeus, Aquila, Priscilla. And of course, there were many others involved in partnership in this gospel ministry of going through open doors. When you think of it, you're a partner in the open door business that happens here at this church. You're a giving partner to the church itself. You're a giving partner to the gospel outreach of the open door through missions. And as you contribute to that, you're being a partner. And that partnership is essential to get the work of God done. But not only is it essential, but it's a joy to think I had a part in that. Missionaries come back and report to your church and show you faces of kids that got saved or adults that got saved or families that come to trust Christ. And you think, I had a part in that. There's my spiritual investment in glory. We cannot do much alone, and we cannot do well alone. Nor did God plan us to do His work alone. God planned us to work with partners. Everywhere the Apostle Paul went, he took with him, a team of people as partners. This work in Hungary cannot be done alone. Just the financial thing alone requires that there be lots of help and lots of support. And then I want you to think about the requirements of the open doors. Think about the end of this message. The instruction here from verse 13 is watch ye. It means be aware, be awake, be mindful, be expecting. Then it says to stand fast, which is to keep your life and your heart where it should be, not allowing the worldly influences to take control of your life. To acquit you like men, which is to man up, be responsible. And then he says, be strong, which is to have the strength of God in your practice and have charity, which is a love for God, a love for His people, love for the brethren, and love for the souls of the lost. And then be submissive to your leadership. I beseech you to know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that ye have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such. So there needs to be a submission to God's authority. And then there is grace. When you think of this equation here of these things that are necessary to have an open door and be effective as an open door, then you think about this reward of an open door. I'll tell you, it was some sacrifice for my wife and I to go to Hungary, but the payoff was wow. I told this story because it impacts me so much. As two boys came, and I see their pictures here. The boy in the red shirt was one of them that you saw towards the end of the video. Him and his friend came up to me one day, and they said, "We would like to know about this going to heaven and having our sins forgiven." And they asked me a question, of course, through an interpreter. So I started to answer a question. I said, "Wait a minute, would you like to sit down and talk?" "Yeah." So we went out and sat on the stoop outside the place where we met. And we took a while there, half hour or 40 minutes. And before it was done, those two boys had bowed their head and confessed their sinners and asked Jesus Christ to come into their heart, be their Savior and forgive them and get eternal life. I'll never forget it. The next time we had church, that evening, they came in. They saw me and they came over to me and they both hugged me. They pat me on the chest like this. And they said, "Father, Father." They learned an English word. I'll tell you, the reward of this open door is the joy of a growing spiritual family. It's the blessing of having a spiritual purpose. It's the power of seeing answered prayers. And it's an investment in eternal reward in heaven. You can't keep missing the open doors that God sets before you and have the joy that God intends your Christian life to have. When God sets before you an open door, what do you do? It's a crucial time. It's a crisis of faith. Will I stand up and will I walk through it? And will I sacrifice and take and pay the price that it takes to go through that open door and find on the other side the reward? Now, some of us had done stupid and foolish things in our life. And we thought it was an open door and it wasn't. And we got disappointed and we got discouraged. And because we feel like a failure, we've sat down in our spiritual life and we haven't stood up again. My friend, I have been there. And I know that feeling. But I want to encourage you. When God sets before you an open door, don't let past failures keep you in your spiritual seat. Stand up to it and step forward into it. That's the only way you're going to realize the blessings of an open door. Let's stand for prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness, for your grace, for your love, your mercy, your kindness, the opportunities of open doors that you've given us. God, I pray your blessings upon this church. And Lord, I pray your blessing upon this invitation right now. Perhaps there's some open doors that you've set before folks as they've sat and listened this morning. And hearts have been challenged. I pray, Lord, that there will be response. I'll stand up. I will step through that open door that God has set before me. Perhaps, Lord, you're speaking to some heart here this morning that does not know Christ. They do not know the salvation of our Savior. They do not know the forgiveness of sin. They do not know heaven as their home. And I pray this morning, right now, in this invitation, they'll consider seriously what they need to do is accept Jesus Christ into their life. Repent of sin and take the salvation gift that God offers through faith in His Son, Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, work here now. I ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand together and sing, if God spoke into your heart, the altar is open. You're invited to come. If you don't know Jesus, the best decision you'll ever make you can make right now to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Someone will take a Bible and show you from the Bible how you can know Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here and you're a Christian and you say, God has set before me some open doors and I've been sitting down. I want to stand up and I want to step through them. God show me and God help me. And He'll do that. If you're here, God's encouragement you need, He will give. As we sing, once you come.